And welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Bubba in the Bloom, episode 277. Coming at you on a Tuesday night, Bloom Board time, as we have a couple more weeks, or about a week and a half, in the fantasy baseball season, Major League Baseball season. We're going to keep it going for you here. Before we get to all that, you can follow me on Twitter, at BDentric, the podcast, at Bubba Bloom Pod, and on Patreon, at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. And my co-host, as always, on Twitter, at RyanBHQ, Ryan Bloomfield. How are we doing, my friend?
I'm pretty good. Can't find my nail clipper, though. You ever had that feeling when, like, you know, your nail, you can't find it? Nail's getting longer and longer. It's bugging the hell out of you. Can't find it.
Didn't want to go to Rite Aid or Walgreens.
That's my problem. I refuse to go buy a $4 nail clipper because I know the second I bring it home, I'm going to find the other one. It's probably in my kids put it somewhere. So
yeah, that's probably exactly what happened. And they're going to come out with, like, they're going to try to have cut their nail and they'll have a quarter of a nail left. And that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, most likely. So that's what we're dealing with tonight. So all considered, things are very good in the Bloomfield household. Yeah. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. You buried the lead, man. We talked for half an hour. Never didn't even know about you.
I try struggle. And catch you with the element of surprise sometimes.
I was surprised because I could gross people out about my nail clippers, but yeah, we're good.
I was going to say we lose listeners, but at this point in the season, we don't have many of y'all left anyway. Appreciate everyone still listening, of course. And if you're listening, hopefully this is helpful for your stretch run. But yeah, we're getting a little bit loose. That's fine.
We will be getting loose. I'm doing well. It's a Tuesday. Hotter than Hades around here lately. It's hotter than Hades. Hades is in hell. Never heard. I got a new phrase for you. There we go. Right off the top.
No. never heard that one. I thought really? You said Haiti, like the country.
Hades. Whoa. It's like a reference to hell. Yeah, it's been torching. Hades. It's supposed to be away for another couple more days. It's been nice to sweat like this and being sarcastic. But now that you mentioned new phrases, dude. So I sent the Discord that picture of the barbecue on Saturday. And as I'm seasoning those steaks with a couple other guys at the table or seasoning them all, one of them is an old guy, like probably closer to 70. And he goes, someone comes up and goes, "Hey, you want me to jump in here?" And he goes, "Hey, you better not upset the apple cart. Go over there." I almost dropped what I was doing. It was so good. So good.
Man, that's ridiculous. Yeah. Hades. Wouldn't guess that.
Yeah. See, it's funny too, because you think I'm making stuff up and it's like, no, these are actual things.
It's biblical. Hades. Is there like a book of Hades?
No, there's no book of Hades, but they talk about that in the Bible. Talk to your father. I guarantee you he knows these. Guarantee you he knows all of these.
Yeah, I'm down a rabbit hole. Let's get out of it. Sweet.
But yeah, no, we're good. We're good over here. Looking forward to a fun week ahead as baseball is still blowing and going. Playoff races are much better than they were a few weeks ago, which is always nice.
Yeah.
Giants are giving me some false hope, which I expect from them, but it's better than it was like a month ago when they completely just derailed from any hope. Your Mariners are looking strong. We feeling good up there?
56 home runs this evening from Cal Raleigh. Just
double dumper dongs.
Yep. Most ever by, I guess, tied Griffey for the team record, and then most ever by a switch hitter in a season over the great Mickey Mantle. And yeah, Mariners are, I guess, a half game up on the Astros. So we'll see. Battle in the West.
It's going to be good. Good times ahead. Dodgers are currently losing. Let's hope that continues, Philadelphia. So life is good in that regard. Let's get to some recent news. It wouldn't be another news update. It's been a couple weeks, but we're back, baby. Yordan Alvarez. Not officially going to the IL. They won't put him on the IL yet. But severe ankle sprain is the best way we'll put it. He left Monday's game after basically stepping on it. I referenced it as his cleats were above his ankle, the way his ankle twisted. Yeah. At one point, and they did an MRI, Brian, but typical Astros fashion, didn't tell us the results, just said it's severe and he's going to be out for a while. So what are your thoughts here?
Well, what's his name? The Astros manager got all pissy when they asked him about it. Did you see those quotes?
Oh yeah. He was quite annoyed by the in-depth questions. God forbid a team that doesn't give any in-depth answers, they get in-depth questions.
Yeah, that was not a great look. Also not a great look, the actual cover image to your news and notes article on the Patreon is Yordan with a circle around his ankle doing that. So Yeah, tough. Even if you're in an IL league and Yordan doesn't officially get put on the IL, he's done. You can drop him for the last week of the season. In terms of like replacements, I mean, Yordan was mostly DH. I think it's just going to be a kind of a rotational thing. Like Tuesday night, Yiner Diaz was able to DH, so maybe he picks up a couple more plate appearances the rest of the way. Maybe Zach Cole, was called up this past week playing corner outfield. It's just one spot for maybe Cam Smith. Those guys kind of rotate through, maybe get an extra game or something, but no real add or any kind of fallout, in my opinion, fantasy-wise.
Yeah, I think Zach Cole is the biggest winner in this scenario. Like, he was already getting some playing time, but I think this kind of locks him in to the mess that is in the outfield because guys can move around, guys can DH, to your point. Maybe he platoons with Cam Smith. But if you just look at the rest of the Astros' schedule, there are some nice situations here because next week the Astros play three in Sacramento and then three in Los Angeles against the Angels and potentially face all right-handed pitching, which would bode very well for Zach Cole if this does turn out to be something. And he might have already had playing time. Let's not get crazy with that. But I think it just locks him in to more playing time with Yordan out and more moving pieces around there. So I like that. There is another weird scenario if people like a catcher too. He hasn't been hitting good in a while, but Caratini DH'd all the time when Yordan was out the first time. Yeah. So that's another guy to keep in mind. Like he might be the one that like lucks into more at-bats, but he's also not swinging it well, so who knows what the Stros do. But I think Zach Cole, this just kind of locks him into playing time is what it feels like to me.
Yeah, beware if you're bunching batting average. Zach Cole had 36% K rate in Double A this year, 28% in Triple A. Smaller sample there, but tons of power.
And speed.
Yeah, good call. So it's all categories at this point. So just take a look and see if you're there. But yeah, good point. Zach Cole playing time should be there for sure, especially with that nice schedule and a bunch of righties.
All right, bad news in Toronto. Bo Bichette got his second opinion. He's out for the rest of the season with his knee injury. They're still hoping to get him ready for the postseason. You can always hope in one hand and something else in the other and see what happens. But maybe they'll get Bichette back in due time. There are some interesting fallouts here, but I'll get your thoughts on this first.
I mean, you're just trying to bait me into mentioning EC Light again, Ernie Clement, for the 1 millionth time this season.
He was already playing every day, so he's not the main fallout here, I'll say that much.
Who's the main fallout? You tell me.
Well, because Ernie Clement's moved to second base. Andrés Giménez has moved to shortstop in this stretch.
Yeah.
What the big factor is here is all of a sudden you could see a lot more. Where did his name go? Davis Schneider is in the outfield because Addison Barger's back to third base. Schneider's playing every single day in left field. And it's not a great profile. I think we know this. I think we know we prefer him against left-handed pitching if we can. But he's playing every single day in a loaded Toronto Blue Jays lineup, which going into the final week of the season, maybe that's something that interests you. Maybe it doesn't, but could be a guy that gets plenty of at-bats down the stretch.
And a definite power source, Davis Schneider. 11 homers in basically 200 plate appearances this season, 16% barrel rate. So, yeah, I actually did not realize Schneider was playing every day, even against righties. So I could see it if you're desperate for power.
I wasn't going to make you go full Ernie Clement, EC Light to start things out here. Dude. I was going to give you a break on that one.
What about, just real quick, like Bo Bichette in general, like there's a chance this was his last game as a Blue Jay. I believe will be a free agent at the end of the free season. Agent. But 311 batting average, 18 homers, 94 RBI, only four steals. So that's going to be I'm talking more 2026 thing here, but going to be a four category projection. But damn, man, this was a very nice rebound season for Mr. Bo Bichette. And this injury for me has zero weight carrying over to 2026. Just a fluky thing. Well,
he's probably not allowed to have any weight on his knee. So that is very true. But I'm not worried about 2026. I'm more curious. Can he make it back to the postseason? Have a little run because this Jays team seems pretty darn good. And it'd be nice to have him playing shortstop for his maybe last heyday with the team for sure. All right. Zach Neto to the IL with a hand injury. He's been dealing with this off and on for a while. They finally decided to shut him down for the rest of the season. And it's fun because Denzar Guzman has been playing shortstop for the last 3 days, 21-year-old Denzar Guzman. Hit a home run on Tuesday off of Freddy Peralta. Didn't think that was possible. So any thoughts on this situation? Neto done for the year. I'm not running to get Denzar Guzman because I didn't even know who he was until about 4 hours ago. But he proceeded to home run about 30 minutes after I talked about him on my last show.
Yeah, and if you've never heard of Denzar Guzman, you know I haven't. Very, very suspect numbers in the minors. Still just 21, so maybe there's some projection there. But, yeah, I'm not interested in Guzman the rest of the way. Crappy for Zach Neto, who I have on a bunch of successful teams this year. Just funny, man. Like, looking back, this was the player everyone was so worried about injury-wise with the shoulder. The Angels were being so vague this offseason, even entering spring training, about Zach Neto and his status. And Zach Neto comes out and goes 26 homers, 26 steals. It's 257. Just an awesome, awesome season for Zach Neto. Sucks it ends this way. But anyone who took Neto, like, very much playing with house money at this point.
Definitely. And I'll say this with Guzman, it's 17 homers, 14 steals throughout AA and AAA this year. Agreed. Still not overly excited about him. But in deeper formats, there might be life there for the final week of the season. Yeah. Might be. Keyword. Philadelphia Phillies. Edmundo Sosa officially placed on the IL with a groin injury. This shuffles things up in the infield, Ryan. Any thoughts on this situation? Because Trey Turner's also out for the season.
Right. So this is like now we're down to the third string pretty much for the Phillies. I think it's Weston Wilson who has stole a base this evening, hit a home run, I want to say on Monday. So there's at least some pop there, and middle infield is always, at least for me, a problem to backfill in deeper leagues. Now, Weston Wilson in AAA this year, 3 homers, 4 steals, 123 plate appearances, 6% barrel rate, like nothing really special. He's 30 years old. There's like no ceiling there, but I do think Weston Wilson is going to pretty much play every day as he has been the last 3 days against lefties and righties at second base.
Yep, once Sosa went out, Weston Wilson stepped in as the second baseman. Bryson Stott has been the shortstop of choice, so it also means he's playing versus lefties as well.
Yep,
and he actually homered off one the other day, so you got both of those things going in your favor. The other thing that I should have noticed a while ago, because it's happened since Trey Turner was out, I knew Harrison Bader's crushing it. Bader is leading off.
Yes,
for the Phillies. Yes, I missed that part when Turner went out. I knew he was crushing it. I knew he was playing well. I knew he was fantasy viable, blah, blah, blah. I didn't realize he was leading off. That's even better.
Yeah, speaking of crushing it, the Phillies at the deadline. Obviously, the headline was getting Yoan Duran, but sneaky Harrison Bader leading off, hitting very well right now. Yep.
All right, a couple other knickknacks here. Bryce Eldridge was recalled from AAA. To take the spot of the injured Dom Smith. Valiant work, Mr. Smith. Eldridge made his debut on Monday night, hit a ball to left center field that would have been gone in 23 major league ballparks. It was not gone in Arizona. He hit the crap out of it, though. Sat on Tuesday versus a lefty, something to keep in mind going forward. I guess the bright side is the rest of the week, 4 righties, 1 lefty, and next week potentially 5 righties and 1 lefty, and that includes a weekend series against Coors and a pretty nice series against St. Louis. Anything interest you here with Bryce Eldridge, who will obviously hopefully have maybe a couple more games of watching before we discuss him on Thursday evening?
Yeah, I mean, you obviously have a better thumb on the playing time situation there, but yeah, it sucks to see your boy, Dom Smith, go down. Hate to see that. He was producing lately. Eldridge, yeah, like Eldridge, it I don't know, we're trying to project players for the last 10 days of the season, especially someone who has, you know, never really seen major league pitching before. 31% strikeout rate in AAA, but the power is legit. Like, I feel like I've said this 3 times already on this show, good power spec for the final week if the playing time is going to be there. But again, beware of the batting average. I don't know how that batting average translates over, at least in Eldridge's first go around in the big leagues.
I made this comp before, and people might think it's blasphemy for the way he's played this season, but when he came out of the AAA, similar thoughts, also 21 years old. Eldridge reminds me so much of Nick Kurtz and vice versa.
Ooh, all
they're
right.
They're both big dudes. They both hit the living snot out of the baseball. There's a lot of similarities between the two in my mind. Obviously, Kurtz plays in a much better ballpark. He's got much more experience. So for the rest of this season, it probably won't matter, but it will be an interesting thought process going forward next year because the Giants have a lot of moving parts with Devers still there and whatnot. But the skill sets with Eldridge, I a lot of similarities, maybe not identical, but very similar.
But if we use the transitive property, does that also mean he comps to Jack Caggs?
No, he hits the baseball. There's a difference.
So does Jack Caggs, dude. When? Decent K rate. He just hits it on the ground.
Okay, so he's Eric Hosmer. Gotcha.
Oh, God.
Same jersey, too. Yeah. No, I like Caggs. I like Caggs. Caggs is young, too. Caggs is young also. But, yeah, it's not probably not fair to – but I'm just thinking, before Kurtz came to the bigs, there was a lot of parallels to the way their minor league careers have gone. Let's put it that way.
Yep.
And then the Toronto Blue Jays, not like they're the best team in the American League, one of the best teams in all of baseball, cruising to the AL East and potentially a bye in the postseason. They just called up a stud pitching prospect in Trey Yesavage, who made his debut in Tampa Bay on Monday, 5 innings. 1 run, 9 Ks, 19 whiffs in those 5 innings. Yeah. Absolutely filthy, Ryan. So any thoughts on this?
I mean, how could you not, if you have any money left and need pitching, how could you not spend like everything you have for the final week? Like, get just given what we saw from Yesavage and how quickly he has risen through 4 levels of the minors this season and pretty much not even blinked at any level. So, yes, like obviously Toronto's grooming Yesavage for a postseason spot, but that also means I think he'll get plenty of run for the, 2 starts he's got left. He will start, unfortunately, for weekly Fab people. Next start lines up at Kansas City on Sunday, so that's not great.
Beautiful.
And then, I mean, the matchup's beautiful, but you can't pick him up in weekly leagues for it. But if you're in like head-to-head weekly pickups or whatever, or daily pickups, like absolutely grab Yesavage as quickly as you can. His last start would be the last weekend of the season, potentially the last day of the season against the Rays. So again, you have no idea what the pitch count's going to be for that one, but man, dude looked incredible. Yesavage did in his debut.
And it's all speculation, but I don't think the pitch count's effective for him going to they should have a first round bye. B, it's going to be Gossman, Scherzer and Bieber are the big 3. So Yesavage might not even be in the postseason rotation. When they called him up, they said there'd be no limitations on him. Obviously, that's for the first start, maybe the second start. I think if for the Jays, if they have things locked up, who better to pitch than Yesavage on Sunday to get more reps at the big league level and see if he can go 5 or 6?
Good point.
I don't think there's anything. Well, there's always something to worry about in the last weeks of the season. But out of other guys we will discuss in the next week of podcasting, he's one of the, I guess, ones I'm more confident in.
And probably the priority ad over any other starting pitcher we're about to talk about on these blue boards this evening. we're scraping the bottom of the barrel, folks. September 16th, 17th, based on when you're listening to this. But we're going to do our best with some pitching ads.
All right. Speaking of said ads, Ryan, why don't you pull up this blue board that we have tonight, this interactive blue board, to see where things get rocking and rolling.
Yeah, so again, we didn't lose people over my fingernail comment and now marketing this episode topic. We've still got a few people left. So basically what we are looking at, the Bloom Board we're pulling up, this is a version of the starting pitcher planner that's available to everyone who joins the Patreon, and I update every day. All I did with this is I added on ownership rate, so I wanted to get pitchers who I think are going to be free agents. These are less than 50% owned in Fantrax leagues. And basically all we're looking at is over these next 2 weeks, what are the matchups? This board is, for those watching, this board is ordered by the easiest matchups, just like it is on our weekly planner tool. Easiest matchups at the top based on the opposing lineups WRC plus against that handedness of pitcher, if that makes sense. So that's what these numbers are for start 1 and start 2. And then they're all just kind of sorted by the average of the easiest WRC plus, the easiest lineups that they're facing. Got some meter date skills on here. But basically what we're going to try and do tonight is just talk through like what we think of a bunch of these names. Do we think they're going to pitch these last 2 weeks? Is their team in it? Yada, yada. So the goal is to just try and give you all some some names to consider for the last 10 days.
Mitch D in the chat got me good. Tonight it's a gloom board because you're in Google Sheets. So that's pretty good.
I like that.
It's pretty good.
Mitch. Well done.
All right. We'll start at the top here, and it goes with a name that I looked at this past week and for the first time going, who? His name's Mitch Ferris of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim. Mitch has made three starts with the Angels this season, coming off a disaster against the Mariners, but two really good starts prior to that against the A's and against the Royals. I want to emphasize the Royals here. Mitch Ferris, very low roster rates across most formats you're going to be in. Gets great matchups this week. It's he gets at Coors over the weekend, but next week when you can potentially pick him up in your weekly leagues, gets said Kansas City Royals, a team that offensively is not great at all, especially versus left-handed pitching. So what do you got here, Ryan?
And that's why Mitch Ferris is number one on this list. And I do want to reiterate, number one on this list does not mean that this player is the, as Shohei Ohtani homers in the same game, he took a no-hitter through four innings, which is unbelievable. This is not ordered by like the top guys to add. This is just ordered by opponent quality. So like Mitch Ferris is not the best pitcher on this list, but he does have the easiest schedule over his next two starts. So I actually don't mind it. Like Mitch Ferris in Double A this season, 17% strikeout minus walk, missed a ton of bats, 15%. Swinging strike. And if you're adding him in weekly for that Royals start, you can see right on the board here, the Royals have a 79 WRC plus. That is Oregon Duck Green. That is terrible from an offensive standpoint, great from a matchup standpoint. So I would not mind rolling with Mitch Ferris, certainly for the last start of the season, but also in weekly if you're able to get him against Colorado. Colorado is awful against lefties.
Yes, they are one of the best matchups, pitching situations over the last 2 weeks. Yeah. And this brings just a joyful tear to my eye.
He's the cover boy of the YouTube art too. So, you know, I had to throw that in for you, my friend.
Absolutely beautiful. Patrick Corbin. Patrick freaking Corbin, who I know it's people go, not again, but it's like, hey, if you told me that you could roster Patrick Corbin, get a 4.23 ERA on the season, you'd be pretty happy. A 4.39 Sierra. Not bad. K's are not ideal, but still a 12.4%, a 20% K rate for Patrick Corbin. Like, let's just talk about that. That's more than I think most would have expected from Patrick Corbin. Now, you got him coming up this week. He faces Miami over the weekend, obviously a phenomenal start. And then next week, you get pretty much the worst offense in all of baseball in the Cleveland Guardians in Cleveland. Patrick Corbin, I love him, and I might ride or die with him one more time in my 15-team leagues.
I think you can. You mentioned the K rate. Patrick Corbin's actually missing bats, especially over the last month. 13.5% swinging strike. That's really good. League average, it's like 11.5. Flip so, it. I know. Hey, I'm swallowing my own pride for the good of the listeners and giving at least lukewarm fantasy advice. So, Patrick Corbin, I would throw him at Cleveland. Why not?
There's going to be a lot of names here that you're going to see Cleveland and Kansas City involved. If memory serves me correctly, that's going to ring some bells for potential guys coming up here. I want to get your thoughts on all of these, but this one for sure, because I'm so torn on Peyton Tolley of the Boston Red Sox. Great in his first start, struggled in his second. He's been in and out of the rotation. They kind of just use him when they need arms. So he's scheduled to pitch this weekend against Tampa Bay. A Tampa Bay team that struggles versus lefties. Problem is, I don't know how deep he's going to go. I don't know if he's actually going to make the start. Is he the piggy? I have so many questions with this start.
And I still like, so this planner does not take into account ballpark. So it is at Tampa. Like, I don't love that. But I think by far the biggest thing is like, I have no idea. It's exact same concerns that you had, Bubba. I'm not looking to add Peyton Tolley really at all, because if you need ratios, I'd rather just go with an elite reliever. If you need wins and strikeouts, I don't think Peyton Tolley's going to give it to you just based on how he's been used with Boston. Maybe that changes if they come out and say Tolley will piggyback behind Kyle Harrison or some other something. But as it stands right now, even though Tolley is number three on this list, I'm not adding him.
All right. The next pitcher on this list faced the Miami Marlins on Tuesday evening. Went 5 2/3 innings, allowing 6 earned runs 8 hits, 1 walk, and 1 singular strikeout on the evening. He has 2 interesting starts coming up at home this weekend versus He has the Angels this weekend. That's what he has. And then next week he's in San Francisco against a Giants team that's slowly hitting better. I'll say that much. Still has a 78 WRC plus versus lefties. Ryan, out of curiosity, are you rostering Kyle Freeland?
Man, in my younger years, when I was young, stupid, and naive, I might have gone for it. I see all this green on this board, and I get mesmerized, and I add Kyle Freeland, and then I hate myself 4 days later. So, no, I am not adding Kyle Freeland. I mean, I'll throw it back to you. Like, is that Giants start at least, like, in that park against lefties? I know they have been hitting better. If you're desperate, I'm still not doing it, but I'm curious your take from a Giants perspective. You're already shaking your head, so.
I wouldn't right now just because, I don't know, they're not going to be putting the slouches out there. I know that much because they're still trying to compete. Yeah. Because that Freeland starts Saturday. Well, they might be out of it by Saturday. But still, yeah. You're going to have, like, Encarnacion's back up. You're going to have Flores. Maybe they call Matos back up for the weekend if they're out of it. Casey Schmidt. There's a lot of options to do some damage in that lineup. And Kyle Freeland has fooled us. It's been very, like, he allowed the 6 runs today, but then he's coming off of 1 earned run over 5 2/3 versus the Dodgers, 8 shutout innings versus the Padres. Then he got tossed before he even got an out against the Giants. 3 earned runs, 5 earned runs, 2-0. If you look at his,
yeah, this is your guy too.
Buddy. He's a tool. if you look at his game logs though, if you're just a game log hunter, he's actually been quite serviceable. I will admit that. Like, very serviceable. I will never throw Kyle Freeland. It's just like a rule of mine. Even before he was a tool, I just never threw him. But I could see where that start in San Francisco with his recent results becomes appealing, and he's probably going to be widely added in main events this weekend because no one else owns him yet. Because you shouldn't,
dude. I did not even think about that. There's a chance Kyle Freeland just drops the mic at the end of 2025 season, just nails Devers, and then call it a year.
If he does that, Adames might finish off what he was about to start the first time. Let's put it that way.
Call it a seat. Head on back to the house. If you're
Adames might be suspended for the first week of the 2026 regular season if this takes place, because he was very close to connecting from an over-the-top blow the first time, and then Freeland went crying and hiding like a little girl. I don't think that happened. If he does it again, it's curtains. I might have to get tickets for that game on Saturday. Might be worth it.
Yeah, I'll get you a Freeland jersey that you can wear to the game.
No, never. I'll burn it in the parking lot. All right. Another guy that you see this green, Ryan.
No, we don't need to do Kyle Hendricks.
Yeah, it looks so great. We can just move on from Kyle Hendricks. Yeah, good.
Yeah, we can move. You don't want Kyle Hendricks. Yes, he has an easy schedule. No, you should not start him.
Thank you. Carson Wisenhunt, not even sure if he makes these starts. Just going to specify, he's throwing a minor league game, I think, Wednesday. So he's definitely not making the Dodgers start. Maybe he comes back next week when the Giants need pitching. So we'll just skip Carson Wisenhunt because we're not sure on what's going on there. But Caden Dana is one I'd like to talk about. We seem to talk about him a lot lately because he just got called up super young, 21 years old. Lots of quote-unquote prospect pedigree, but the results have not happened this year to AAA. Gave up 5 runs in 3 2/3 versus the Royals today. Makes it really tough to roster him, even though he's got some really good matchups at Colorado and against the Houston Astros.
Yeah, for me, you see this rare steak red, 44% ball rate. Like, Caden Dana has no idea where he's. The 44% ball rate is awful. League average is like 35, 36. So Caden Dana has a 15% walk rate on the season. So that is 11 walks in 15 innings. I don't see that getting any better. And honestly, it doesn't matter what your matchups are if you have no idea where the ball's going. So maybe that's a little harsh on old Caden Dana, because like you said, there is some long-term prospect reason to be excited, but certainly not for the last 10 days of the season.
All righty. This is probably so far the best pickup on this entire sheet. Should have picked him up last week already. Tyler Wells of the Baltimore Orioles. Tyler Wells has come back and made 2 starts since coming off the IL. He's thrown 11 2/3 innings, 3 earned runs, 1 walk, and 10 Ks against Pittsburgh and at San Diego. 2 very strong starts for Wells. And then he gets the White Sox on Wednesday when you're probably listening to this. And then Tampa Bay to finish out the season, but it's in Baltimore, which is a plus. Love me some Tyler Wells for the final week.
Yep, I do too. I think we've mentioned Wells multiple times on previous Fab previews. So especially if you need to try and lock up ratios with a chance at a win, Tyler Wells is probably your best bet there. The control's so good that you're probably going to get a decent whip unless he just gets destroyed, which, you know, can always happen. But yeah, Tyler Wells is probably the top ad so far on this. I would say behind you, Savage. That's actually how this dude's name is pronounced, but yeah, Savage and then Wells so far.
All right. This next one, I got a lot of mixed feelings on, but I'll let you have the floor first.
It's your guy. I don't know anything about Kai-Wei Tang.
Kai-Wei Tang of the San Francisco Giants threw pretty well Monday night in Arizona, 4 innings, no earned runs, 5 Ks. He's basically been really good outside of 3 starts. And in those 3 starts, he had 3 walks, 4 walks, and 5 walks. When he has control issues, things go downhill. He still has only allowed 1 home run over his 26 and 2/3 innings. Ball stays in the park, but he has a 380 BABIP. The ball gets put in play also when he's, and then he walks guys, bad combination across the board. So if he limits the walks, things are good in that regard. Other concern I have, does he go deep enough? He's gone over 5 innings twice. He's picked up wins in both of those outings. So you got that going for you as well. He gets the Dodgers this week. Do not start him in that one, please. If he pitches well, awesome. But the one I'm looking at, and part of me says he should go 5 unless something goes haywire, is the Rockies the final week of the season. I say he should go 5 because the Giants have no pitching right now. Like, it's dreadful. Like, and if they're out of it especially, they're going to let him go. Like, last night, Melvin micromanaged it because they're trying to compete for the postseason still. I love Kai-Wei Tang. I think there's a lot to like here. If you dig into his minor league numbers, Ryan, he was outstanding.
Oh, they look great. Yeah.
Outstanding. Yep. Like the strikeout rate, the K to walk. This dude was very, very good. And I think the biggest question is, does he go deep enough to get you a win? But if you want ratios and strikeouts and his prey doesn't walk the farm, he's going to get you those and potentially a win. So love Tang.
Yeah, so I feel like this is somewhat of a play, like if you're chasing somebody as opposed to trying to hold a lead, because I just think it's a high ceiling for Tang for this last start. It's also a very low floor. We just don't know if the control is going to be there. If the control is there, this matchup is awesome. And yes, he probably will pitch deep into games. So I don't want to say I'm convinced, but if I'm trying to chase somebody and I'm throwing Hail Marys, throwing darts out there, Kai-Wei Tang is pretty high up that list just because of the strikeout upside and the opponent. I mean, Road Rockies is just, that's what you want right now.
Agreed. All right, let's get Blue Bought, everybody. AJ Blue Bought, who is in the Astros rotation, they are saying he's going to keep the rotation spot for the injured Luis Garcia. We'll see if that continues on. He faces the Angels on the final week of the season. He pitched on Tuesday, only threw 3 innings, though. That's, I guess, the concern. Is he stretched out? So where are you at on AJ Blue Bar, Ryan? Because the matchup is really, really good.
Matchup's really good. Even at 7 strikeouts in those 3 innings on Tuesday. So you do like that. I just don't think you're going to get a win from AJ Blue Bar. I do think he's probably going to make the start just because the Astros need to finish things out, and they need all hands on deck. And AJ Blue Bar pitching well right now is a good thing for them. So the problem is wins, quality starts, basically no chance of that. But you could pick up 5-7 strikeouts, which is more than a middle reliever will probably get you in a week. So if you need Ks with a pretty decent shot at good ratios, AJ Blue Ball is a decent pickup for that last start.
I'll just ask you, are you trying to Mitchell Park or anything?
No, I'm not. The skills are just too bad, in my opinion.
Like, he's rated out like matchup wise so well for like 2 months, it feels like, and none of it turns out well. It's unbelievable. So
I mean, that's you and Tids boy. I'm not going there.
That's Tids boy. And to be fair, Tids like a top 10 in main event overall, so maybe I should be more interested. Andrew Alvarez, another guy where I brought him up on the Fab show, like, who? And I get it. Yeah. The ratio, the whip is not ideal. He's overachieving. But when you look at Andrew Alvarez, he faces the Mets and the White Sox. Any interest here?
Not really. I mean, I just look at the skills that are right here on the sheet, and he's not missing bats. Andrew Alvarez has a 9% swinging strike. He's not throwing strikes. That's a 42% ball rate. It's just not good sub indicators for Andrew Alvarez, which is what I look at. I look at swinging strike and ball rate, especially in these small samples, because I want to look at like a per pitch or per plate appearance, I should say, type of deal. So I don't like the skills, and quite honestly, like, the White Sox, yes, it's a decent matchup, but they have been hitting better. You know, these are year-to-date WRC plus rankings for the opposing lineups, and the White Sox are a better lineup than what they were in the first half. So I'm not really touching Andrew Alvarez.
Agreed. Joey Wentz is another one that it felt like for a while was like the darling of the Fab world, and then it's been quite the roller coaster ride with Joey Wentz in the last five starts. He's allowed four runs or more in three out of five, Ryan. So
yeah,
we got Joey Wentz taking on Detroit, which is a horrific matchup. And then he gets Pittsburgh the following week. Do you try to gain a little leverage with Joey Wentz against the Pirates?
So that's the thing. Unless it's against Paul Skeens on the 26th, I like the win potential very much.
Right now, it looks like Mitch Keller right now.
Oh, God. So, yeah, like if you're trying to just desperately get a win, I don't mind Joey Wentz. I don't think Joey Wentz is good. Joey Wentz is on our live Bloomboard sheet, which I update every day, is available to Patreon subscribers. He has one of the biggest drops in fastball velocity over the last month of any starting pitcher. So there's a ton of risk by throwing Joey Wentz. But if all you need is that one damn win and you're good in ratios and you're fine, I could see throwing Joey Wentz against the Pirates.
All right, I'm going to say this now because we're getting closer to it. The WRC plus matchups are getting closer to league average to worse than league average.
Yeah.
So it's going to be tougher and tougher to find, I think, what we're looking for going forward. Just going to put that on the table already.
Agreed.
As in Mason Barnett. Dude's got an 11% K to walk, Ryan, a 41% ball rate, and he's at Boston and then a home versus Houston and home versus Kansas City to finish the season. This Mason Barnett has not thrown more than five innings in a start. He's allowed 12 earned runs over 12 and two-thirds innings pitched.
Yeah, so that's automatically a no-go. Like, yeah. And especially those home starts for Barnett. Those are in Sacramento. No, I'm not doing it.
All right, are you going to church twice with the good Lord as he takes on the Braves at home and the Braves on the road?
Man, the good Lord needs to pitch that final Sunday of the season. Just be poetic. He's pitched somewhat decently, hasn't he, lately? Maybe I'm just thinking of one decent start. I'm going to pull up the good Lord's game log. I feel like he had a decent start against somebody. No. I am hallucinating.
I was letting you look that up before you figured it out.
Yeah, we can move on from Brad Lord.
Here's one that's a little frustrating is Braxton Ashcraft, the guy we all loved at one point. Then it became a piggyback. Then he was missing starts and lots of questions on what really was going down with this guy. He's got one start against the Reds coming up early next week in Great American Small Park. And it feels like the good days have been kind of pushed behind Braxton Ashcraft. Where are you at on him for this last start in a very tough environment? Yeah, he's not even going deep into games.
Yeah, that's the biggest thing. So it is a 2.74 ERA on the service for Braxton Ashcraft, but very much helped by a lack of home runs, which, I don't know, age-old debate. I don't think a pitcher has that much control over a homer to fly ball rate. He's been very fortunate with the home runs. That could certainly run out in Great American Small Park, even though Braxton Ashcraft is a pretty good ground ball guy. But I think at the end of the day, like, it's a tough park, and Braxton Ashcraft has not thrown 75 pitches in any appearance in the majors this season. So it's not like the win potential is high anyway, pitching for the Pirates. I just don't see like a ton of, like, I'd rather just go like AJ Blueball and have a better shot at decent ratios and more strikeouts than Braxton Ashcraft.
Agreed. Completely agree. I have zero interest in Randy Vasquez or Germán Márquez.
Agreed.
All right.
Agreed.
Bryce Elder. Now things get interesting. Bryce Elder just gave up six runs and four to third versus Houston. Three walks, seven strikeouts. Houston finally erupted on Elder and Waldrop in back-to-back games. They woke up. Prior to that, though, he allowed 4 earned runs over his previous 4 starts, yep, over 26 and a third innings pitched with good strikeout to walk ratios. Do you buy back in on a Bryce Elder as he gets to take on Detroit this week and in the final week of the year gets the Washington Nationals at home?
No, I'm not. I can see why some people might. I've been whipsawed by this guy. I actually have never added Bryce Elder, but like people ask us, like, should I stream Bryce Elder? And I'm like, no, like never Elder, but you just mentioned that 4 start stretch of 4 earned runs in a row. Maybe you start to believe, and then, or not 4 earned runs in a row, 4 combined earned runs. Then you start to believe, and then you get the Houston start that you just mentioned with 6 earned. So I am not in on Bryce Elder. The matchup, like the Washington matchup, the last week of the season is okay outside of Dalen, Babe Ruth, Lyle. But no, I'm not doing Bryce Elder, I don't think.
Yeah, I'll put some more context behind this. Even if you include the 6 earned run outing, his last 5 starts, he has a 2.93 ERA.
I know.
With a 3.91 Sierra. But what I really wanted to go to here, a lot of what feels like could be a potential issue here is, or not was issue, but I was going to say an 11.5% swing strike rate isn't horrible. Like, he's doing well in that regard. He's looking good at a 33% O swing. Like, there's a lot to like here with Bryce Elder. Makes me want to go back to him, especially in a 15 teamer, deeper leagues. Like, there's,
yeah, something, yeah, there. No, the skills have upticked slightly over the last month. There is something to it. I don't know. Ever since I attended First Pitch Arizona and Eric Carabel just shouted Bryce Elder sucks on the player spotlight panel, just always been out.
But, so that's all I have to do on the pitching panel?
That's all. That's all you have to do.
I could do that. I could do that all day long. While the other two guys sit at the table talking about IVB and stuff, oh, I could easily be the, oh, this guy sucks. Hey, don't upset the apple cart. Hey, I got all that.
That might upset the apple cart. Yes. Carabel's got enough clout. Carabel's been on that panel for about 20 years, carried enough clout. Let's see. Let's see how
stones you have. One and done, baby.
One and done.
One and done.
But yes, there is an avenue where that's all you need to do, man. See what happens.
We're in. All right. Slade Ciccone, a guy that I pretty much gave up on after stuff really hit the fan. He's turned it around a bit over his last 5 starts. Slade Ciccone has allowed 300 less in 4 out of his last 5. He has a 4.06 ERA over his last 5, Ryan, with a 4.07 Sierra and a 15.1% K to walk. Slade Ciccone is scheduled to face the Minnesota Twins this week, and we are not sure if he has another start next week. So what are your thoughts on Mr. Ciccone?
Yeah, it may just be nothing because that's a Saturday start, so there may be nothing for next week. I don't know. I've got Ciccone in the kind of Bryce Elder tier. Not as many strikeouts even, but probably better control. But I don't know, just another 15-team prayer, Slade Ciccone.
Yeah, it's interesting. They're letting Parker Messick stick in the rotation instead of Slade Ciccone. Oh.
Well, Messick's been good, hasn't he? Or has he fallen off lately?
No, he's been fine. I feel like Logan Allen sucks.
Yeah, that we can agree on for sure.
Yeah, that's interesting that Ciccone's been like one of their better pitchers over the last month, and he might be the odd man out. Interesting.
I don't know why Logan Allen. I don't know what kind of dirt Logan Allen has on management, but that would be my move. Like, yeah, Parker Messick's been.
Yeah, no, he's been just fine. There's zero clubs there. Christian Javier, dude has not been great since coming back from the IL. 12% K to walk, 10% swinging strike, 38% ball, Ryan. Next week, he's at Sacramento, and then at the Angels is nice, but if you're in a weekly league, that means you have to sit through the at Sacramento. Are you in or out on this Christian Javier situation?
I'm out for the at Sacramento part. Like, that scares me. But again, I can say, I mean, Christian Javier, he's right on the edge here, 50% rostered in Fantrax. A two-step, it's just the second part of the two-step next week. This will be a familiar refrain on our Thursday show coming up in 2 days, our fad preview for the final week. Like, what is that at Angel start even look like? Does he throw? I just think the bulk of Christian Javier's last week is going to be in Sacramento, and Christian Javier, Sacramento's not the best combo out there.
No, it's not the best. Houston might be fighting for the postseason, though, so you never know in that regard. Cade Povich is a guy that I have a lot of love for. I've always been that guy who just gets suckered into Cade Povich. He's like my Povich to your Kikuchi is what it feels like with this kid. He's younger, at least, so I can call him a kid. I feel like there's a lot of potential with Kikuchi. Strikeouts are always there. Walks are always a concern. But he's been really good, at least serviceable, over his last six outings. We're seeing a 4.60 ERA, but the Sierra is much better, a 3.87, and more importantly, almost 16% K to walk. Povich has the Yankees this week I'd avoid, but Tampa Bay next week in Baltimore is outstanding.
Agreed. And I think for that reason, like, I'd take Cade Povich over Elder or a two-start Javier or a Slade Ciccone. Like, I agree with everything you just said. Cade Povich has pitched better than the results have led on recently, and it's a great matchup against a Rays team on the road that struggles against lefties. So for all those reasons, Cade Povich, pretty decent stream for the last week.
I remember when I, like, 3 weeks ago, looked at his full schedule and said, hey, that last start's going to be great. And you started laughing at me because it was like a month out.
Well, yeah, you had to get through, like,
the last start.
You had to get through, what do you say at the top of the show? Hell's Angels or something?
Hades.
Hades. You had to get through Hades to get there. So you
go through Hellfire and Brimstone to get there.
There you go.
All right. I have no real interest in Keidar Montero because I don't think the Tigers know if they have interest in Keidar Montero.
And nor do I.
Okay. This one, holy heck. Simeon Woods Richardson coming off six shutout into 11 Ks versus the Yankees. The dude actually has 24 Ks in his last three starts over 16 innings, Ryan, allowing five earned runs. Not sure where this has come from at all. Absolutely baffling, Ryan. But with that said, he gets the Guardians this week, so maybe late unless you're in a daily league. You can pull that one off. But you get the Phillies next week. Is it still worth it for the Phillies next week?
I don't know. It's interesting. So Wood Richardson pops on the live bloom boards for a pitch mix change over the last 30 days as well. So there's been some type, I don't know, I'm not going to look it up during the show. There's been some type of change to Wood Richardson's arsenal. He's agreed, man. Like, missing a ton more bats lately. Looks really good. The problem is at Philly. Like, dude, that could be death. I know Philly has clinched, they're still going to, I don't know. It's the last day of the season.
Yeah, it could be.
There are so many variables. I might throw that because I don't think Philly plays their starters. They maybe give them an at-bat or two, and then that's it. Yeah. Or maybe not because they get a bye. I've already gone back and forth eight times. And
the problem is that mindset, not that I'm disagreeing with that mindset, was much easier to say happens when the rosters were expanded to like 40 over last month.
Yeah.
Only adding two players, you kind of still have to start a good chunk of the guys.
Yep.
The
math alone, you cannot rest all of your starters.
The math ain't mathing fully on that
math
one.
Ain't mathing.
I don't know, man.
That's a tough call.
More importantly, from all this gibberish we've given you this evening trying to figure out who to start the final week, just the Simeon Wood Richardson, just that little discussion in my brain makes me want to be very curious for 2026. Dude's 24, and he had that big profile coming up. Like, everyone was all excited, and he really never panned. Like, did he figure something out? Did they figure something out? Can it be carried over? Like, there's a lot of questions I already have, and we're not even there yet. But the fact he made the pitch mix change, and, dude, that was always his problem. He was like Brian Bayo, just didn't strike guys out. So it, like, it was tough for fantasy. If he's striking dudes out, you can suffer a few four-run outings. Like, that's fine. So very interesting.
So it is. It's not only a pitch mix change for Simeon Richardson. It is a new pitch. Split finger. Almost a quarter of the time in August and a quarter of the time in September. And basically barely threw it before that. That's actually really interesting to me.
Interesting. Huh. So, yeah, that's something to keep in mind as we dig in a couple of weeks. We start our 2026 discussions. Yes. All right. JT Ginn, another guy that I've kind of just brushed to the side. And weirdly enough, when I looked at him over the weekend for Fab, been better than I thought. Let's put it that way. I just ignored him because I've seen his past plus the home starts. I just wanted nothing to deal with. But over his last five outings, dude has allowed 11 runs over 25 and a third innings with 31 Ks and nine walks. He's been quite effective. Three of those five starts were at home, and two other pretty good starts altogether. When you're looking at his upcoming schedule with JT Ginn, a 15% or a 19% K to walk right now for JT Ginn, and he gets to face Boston on Thursday, so cancel that out. But that Houston start next week, interest?
Interest, yeah. JT Ginn is actually, he's shown up on my eight baseball HQ fab columns the last couple of weeks because he just always gets pretty good matchup ratings from HQ. And yeah, the results have been fine. 3.91 ERA over his last five starts, even better skills. And I think the big thing, yes, it's a home start. It's a 53% ground ball rate for JT Ginn. So he does keep the ball on the ground, which can certainly obviously help in Sacramento against a Houston team without Yordan Alvarez. Like, yeah, they're gonna be fighting for something, but I don't know how good that lineup is. I like JT Ginn more than a lot of these other names we've mentioned, actually.
Yeah, no, I'm with you there. So I just always get scared of that ballpark. I said that's what kept me away from him, but the more I look at it, like, he's been quite serviceable, like very, yeah, very serviceable, which you never know. Maybe some of these young kids right out the gate, ballpark kind of overwhelmed, but maybe they figured out something. Who knows? Probably not, but pure speculation there. Andre Pallante. Do you have any interest in Andre Pallante and a 7% K to walk?
Never Pallante.
Yes. Yonders Gomez, it's like an up and down firecracker, so I'm not interested there either.
No. And yeah, we're starting to get, it's these are murky, tougher schedules, but there's not much skill on this thing anyway. But Cade Cavalli,
that's what I say. Cade Cavalli is kind of interesting. The ball percentage is pretty low, which is nice to see. Yeah. You don't worry about the Mets start this week, but he gets the White Sox next week, Ryan, which I like the White Sox. I think that team is young and playing well, but they also have their holes. They're, again, a young team, so there's going to be a lot of issues there. Cavalli's allowed three in runs or less in six of eight starts and three straight starts. The strikeouts have been inconsistent with Cavalli. Would you be willing to stream him against the Chicago White Sox?
Yeah, I would, and I probably will. I have Cavalli in a couple draft and hold teams that I started last week because he had a two-step. Didn't go that great. He only had three strikeouts and two-step. Like, what?
Yeah, I'm saying the strikeouts just haven't
good
been there.
God. At Miami and versus Pittsburgh. Great. So, yeah, start him against the White Sox. But now the skills have actually been pretty decent. I mean, they're right here on. I mean, he's missing bats, throwing strikes. I would say Cavalli is mid to low level streamer for the last week. I would say above your Elder, Ciccone, certainly like Randy Vasquez, the good Lord, Andrew Alvarez types, but not someone I would like prioritize, if that makes sense. More of a backup guy.
Agreed. Sean Burke, I'm pretty much just out on him. It was fun early on, not so much anymore.
Yeah.
Michael Lorenzen is enticing. Lorenzen was pitching really good for a while there. His last few starts have been a little shaky, but next week he gets the Los Angeles Angels on the road. At least in 15s, I think he's very, very much in play.
Yeah, agreed. Especially for that Angel start. That's a good one. And continued apologies for once calling Michael Lorenzen Jared Lorenzen on the podcast. Rest in peace.
Speaking of nicknames, yes, rest in peace. Costanza, Jason Alexander, who continues to be good, even though Ryan does not want to accept it that he's good. I had to throw that out there because I remember last week you're like, no, don't do it. Well, he went through four and two thirds, one earned run, five Ks. Dude's been good.
Four and two thirds, huh? Wow.
Hey, distance in the game might be an issue, but overall, he's pretty good. It was a two-step, so we're accumulating this week, and that means he gets Seattle later this week, which scares you and scares me, but he gets the Angels next week, and I think there is definitely still something in that profile to enjoy against the Angels.
I feel like half the pitchers we've talked about tonight are facing the Angels.
It's a lot of Angels, Royals, White Sox, and the Rockies. That's what you're going to see on these boards.
Yeah. Mild interest in Jason Alexander just for the Angels start, not touching him against
fresh Seattle. Out of a pool, Jason Alexander.
Yeah. I don't even know, man. I don't. Stick to my shtick. I'm not doing any beer bets the last week of the season. I've already locked it up. So why double down?
Mookie Blaylock, it's nice having you back.
Oh, there he is. Mookie Blaylock's here.
Yeah, no, thank you. Coming off the IL.
No. 1% K minus walk.
Yeah, we're good. That's unbelievable. 7% swinging strike, 1% K minus walk. That is
what a beast.
That's 1% better than us, Ryan.
I'd rather have us.
Yeah,
I would. I'd rather have actual Mookie Blaylock.
I'd rather sit and listen to us for 3 hours than watch Mookie Blaylock try to pitch through five innings of baseball. Martin Perez, he's been good until you trusted him, and then it blew up in everyone's face. But he gets the Yankees next week.
Yeah, I'm not doing that. So Martin Perez, I like against Baltimore, and that bears out with the planner. But the Baltimore start is the day you're listening to this. It's on Wednesday of this week. So yeah, Martin Perez at the Yankees. We thank him for his service, and we send him back to the resort. Sip on those Mai Tais.
All right, I'm just going to skip around now. The next one that intrigues me is Ian Seymour. The skills are very good. It shows up on like one of the only guys with three greenish bars on this one down below. He gets Toronto on Wednesday, so who cares? But the final week at Baltimore, at a Toronto team that might be shutting it down, this could be a nice week for Seymour.
Could be a nice week, and I'm glad you mentioned that context with the Toronto start, because on paper, on this literal Google sheet, that Toronto start looks rough, but you're right. What are they going to be playing for? They're not going to have Boba Shet. We know that. Could just be a rest day on the last start of the season. So Ian Seymour, I do like that quite a bit. 29% strikeout rate. Man, Virginia Tech guy. Can he coach a football team? That would be nice.
There's going to be no one to coach when that portal opens here any day.
Yeah, they already – Our best defensive back already portaled, so it's great. Nice. Ian Seymour, honestly, so far that's the best two-step that I've seen of any of these players. Yeah, because the matchups are really good and the skills are good.
And I'm just going to cut to the chase here. There's nothing else I like on this board. If there's anything you like, the floor is yours.
No, there's our guy. There's Brown McCade. McCade Brown.
Dude, it feels like he should be in Justified season 6.
Love that name, but no, I'm not doing McCade Brown. We've got a last name as a first name, last name, and Davis Martin. That's tough.
Always a winner.
Not rolling with that. We did have a Discord question. Maybe this is a segue. I don't know, about Tanner Gordon, who quite honestly, I don't know too much about, but someone reached out in the Discord asking about Tanner Gordon, who would line up for really just one start at Seattle next week. Tanner Gordon gets Miami at home.
He's actually pitched really well
Wednesday. The Seattle start scares me, though.
Yeah, that terrifies me. The Seattle start, the way they're swinging, especially versus he's a righty, so that's good. But literally, since August 15th, he's made 6 starts, 3 in runs or less, and 5 out of 6. 33 Ks to only 8 walks for a 18.7% K to walk. He has a 3.74 Sierra. That's some good skills that Tanner Gordon has. The guy, I just write off Colorado pitchers, but those are some good skills.
Yeah, I'm not touching him. I'm not touching him.
Not with the Seattle start. Not with a Seattle team that still needs to compete.
Exactly.
Now, Seattle, the 24th. They'll still be competing then. So yeah,
it's a 19% K rate in AAA for Tanner Gordon. Like that's for me. That's a deal breaker. That's an immediate no. If you can't strike guys out in AAA, how are you going to do against Cal Raleigh, Julio?
Rosa to be fair, Rana, Luis Castillo's or... pitching against him, so Gordon could be in line for the win still.
Get out of here with that. Get out of here with that. That's my SP3, man.
That's a good discussion on Tanner Gordon, though. That's another interesting one. Another young arm in Colorado that, he's 27. He's not young. 6'5". He's a big boy. Good Lord. Yeah. But maybe that's what you have to be. You have to be a giant to survive the Rocky Mountains. All right. Anything else on this wonderful Bloom board that I always love these because it turns into, okay, these actually are good too. Holy crap.
No, I got nothing else. Again, for the Patreon folks, this will continue to be updated throughout, so hang with it, because I know there's gonna be a lot of moving parts, but honestly I felt like we uncovered a few decent pickups. Like, we go back Mitch Ferris. Yep. Don't mind that. Don't mind Patrick Corbin. certainly like Tyler Wells if you're in a bind. Kaiwei Tang. If you're desperate for a win, perhaps Joey Wentz against the Pittsburgh Pirates. JT Ginn, I liked. Cade Povich, you like. Jared Lorenzen.
Yes. Costanza. So,
Costanza, Ian Seymour as a two-step, and that's it. So, at least, I don't know, 8 to 10 names that you could consider for these last 10 days.
My biggest takeaway was Simeon Woods Richardson.
Yeah, we should have mentioned him. Eye-opener. I did make a note during our show for 2026 draft and hold. Like that's the type of pitcher you can get Simeon Woods Richardson in the 30-some-odd round, and you just never know. If it doesn't work out, whatever. But I did not know about that splitter.
No, that's very interesting stuff there. So, yeah, we'll have to keep that one in the back pocket as we ramp up for 2026. Let's get into some listener questions from the Discord. Now I just got to figure out where Ryan put them. There they are, actually, in the show questions section for once.
Yeah, that's man, good. proper spot this week.
All right, Mailman Mike, are you targeting any of these guys in drafts next year? If so, who?
So I Simeon Woods Richardson, given yes, that, Simeon and actually Richardson. It's interesting. I just Googled Simeon Woods Richardson splitter. Career high 11 strikeouts in his last start through 33 splitters, more than any other pitch, and a career high 36% of his pitches. So the league will adjust, but that's very interesting. Well,
and we have to remember the splitter can be a very inconsistent pitch.
Yes.
So. Yes. Also, on this list from the Bloom board, Tyler Wells is a guy that I like a lot. I always liked him before he got hurt, so he'll keep my interest for sure.
For me, AJ Blue Ball. I think AJ Blue Ball could be a total stud next season. Yes. Again, concerns about the last week of the season, but just because I don't think he's going to throw five innings. But AJ Blue Ball is. I won't be the only one. I think AJ Blue Ball will be a very popular quote unquote sleeper candidate for 2026.
I was banging down that drum in PT tomorrow, like mid season.
Yeah,
and they wouldn't let it happen. Like their skills are good, really, really good. I'm curious. This is more. I'd have to hear more in the offseason. I want to know what the Giants do with Kaiwei Tang. I think the skills are good. I think the skills are very good. Yeah. But do they actually make him into a pitcher? So there are some very intriguing names on this list. Like Slade Ciccone, I still believe is pretty good. Like, could he take a step? Like, there's some interesting names on this list. But the top of the list are the ones we mentioned previously. As Ben did say, it's an easy answer for Ryan, Kyle Freeland. Sean Chart said, any interest in Tanner Gordon? He's been mostly good for the past month despite his home ballpark, home in Miami this Thursday, and then Seattle. If you have a daily league, home in Miami on Thursday, I would do. I would do Tanner Gordon home at Miami Thursday. Yes.
Did not know that was Sean asking that question. Should have lied. I'm fighting out a cash spot in the Beat the Bloom OC. Me, Sean, and the Guilds. Guilds doesn't need the money.
Dude, he's got three teams in like the top 12 of the main event overall.
I feel like DMing. I'm like, dude, you're gonna win like.
He just won the Toast overall like 2 years ago. He won a few hundred thousand dollars then.
It's like, let me finish second in this OC so I can cash.
No, you're gonna feel my pain and finish third, which I've done so many times.
I'm third right now. It's frustrating as hell. Yes.
Yes, it's very very frustrating. Yeah. Other stuff. Grizzman. Bounces off, says, or Aaron Nola wipes single tear from eye.
I just get assaulted in the Discord.
It's a great Discord, folks. It's unbelievable. Really check it out. And then Adam Brunson says, not a specific question, just when you stop to chat about any particular player, comment if they're likely into the be allowed to go five innings pitched. In turn, maybe there's an opener follower opportunity for any of these. Thanks. There probably will be, but that's like, okay, so for Blue Ball, it was it Colton Gordon tonight? On Tuesday, see if that sticks, because Colton Gordon was effective in that situation for Blue Ball. Other than that, I don't know for sure on the rest.
Yeah. I mean, the follower openers are just always tough. I mean, we don't know until that news comes. But I think we did at least for like pitch counts and recent. Like Braxton Ashcraft is another example. Just not throwing 80 pitches, so that's just tough. So hopefully we weave that into our analysis, at least for the relevant guys.
Yes, for the relevant ones, indeed. All right. Well, that'll do it. Another episode in the books. Successful episode. in the books. Any final thoughts before Fab on Thursday?
No, hopefully this was somewhat helpful if you're still in the running and still listening at this point. So we appreciate it. We will be back, Thursday with our normal Fab preview. It's going to be probably a little bit different in terms of just like we will be talking a little bit more about what we just talked about with the starting pitchers, just like teams and are they in it, are they not, that sort of thing. So that will be on Thursday, our last one, man. Last one.
Last Fab preview, week 27 Fab. It goes by so fast. It's crazy.
It does.
So, yeah, we'll be back with you guys then. If you have any questions up till then, we'll be in the Discord. So find us there or on Twitter. Ryan's at RyanBHQ. The podcast at Bubba Bloom Pod and Patreon at patreon.com/BubbaBloom. I'm at BD Intric. Until next time, it's Bubba in the Bloom, episode 277. Catch y'all next time.